Okay, and welcome to Going Native number 58. 3 times a year, the ISO C++ committee meets in fabulous locations around the world, such as Kansas, Jacksonville, Florida, and in this particular case, Kona, Hawaii. And we like to, as quickly as we get back from that, we like to make an episode about what happened so that we can keep you kind of up to speed on the changes to the C++ language coming down the pike. We didn't do a super great job at the very quickly afterwards this time. I assure you we were all working hard here in Redmond, Washington. And so today, once again, I've got Gord Nishanov and Gabby Dos-Reis to talk through what happened at the meeting. So I think to get started, the big news was C++ 17 is done, minus bureaucracy, right? So you want to just explain just a little bit about what happened and where we are.
So now, last meeting, it was in Finland, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, fabulous Finland.
That's right. And we voted out the standards document, you know, for balloting, and we got the comment back.
And that's national bodies comments?
And then and at Issaquah, in November Issaquah, we started processing the comments, you know, address, oh, we don't like this, we don't like that, and oh, what about this, and you know, all those. And most of what remained to be done was in library. So in Kona, the library group was extremely busy, you know, from morning to very late at night to address all those comments. And they were, they were very dedicated.
Okay.
So that at the end of the week, we had a formal document, we call the draft international standard, that the committee voted on, sent to national bodies. Mostly they would have to say yes because we address all the comments. And once they've done that, the ISO headquarters has to find the stamp that says C++ 17. And it can take about 6 months. You know, for some reason, they have a hard time finding the right stamp.
It's a really slow boat they put the printout on and sent across the Atlantic.
Exactly. Yeah, but so bearing in mind those things, we should have C++ 17. I think that's the good, the most important news out of
Okay, great. So C++ 17 is fully formed and done. So there were at least some changes to C++ 17, that standard, before it got sent out for final approval.
Yeah.
So can we go through some of those? Like, what are the biggest changes that happened to C++ 17 that people will be able to use later in this year as the vendors start to ship C++ 17?
So the most important thing, if you remember, Steve, last episode in Issaquah, we were about to get stud byte. So what is byte? So the both C and C++ have this notion of bytes, you know, just the most fundamental units of storage that you can address them on the machine. And traditionally, we have used unsigned char or something like that to say byte, but it has been a source of security bugs, vulnerabilities, and eventually we decided to have a distinct type.
Okay.
And Neil McIntosh, who works for you, got this very nice proposal, and everybody loves it.
Right.
And then, for some reason, the Canadian national body objected to this type that's supposed to be represented byte. They object to it because it was called bytes.
Which concerns about it breaking code, basically.
So. Yeah, the concern is that it might break code, or that didn't have some arithmetic operations. But eventually, we work it out, and it was brought back.
Diplomacy occurs. Canadians are satisfied.
And then the proposal went through.
Great.
Zero opposed.
Awesome.
Zero abstain.
Unanimously bringing standard byte.
So now C++ can say, we have a type just for memory and storage, and you can use, and stop using unsigned char, because that's where you get
because
all the bugs.
Because saying unsigned char doesn't have the semantic meaning of
That's right.
I am representing the storage in memory unmodified.
Yeah, so it doesn't say it, is that it's ambiguous. So
ambiguous.
Most of the time, when you want to point to an object, you say pointer to unsigned char. Now, we also have pointers to unsigned char that says string or const char.
Sure.
And so you don't know when you get a pointer to const char, you don't know whether it is just raw storage or it's a null terminated character string.
And so now we're adding that semantic itself into the language so people could distinguish between.
Exactly. And everybody loves it.
Okay, so that's byte. Mm-hmm. The next thing we want to talk through, which again is a change in C++ 17 between Issaquah and the final Kona thing, is template argument deduction, I think?
For class templates.
For class templates. Yeah. All right, so tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so traditionally in C++, when you write a function template, or the one you use from the standard library, you don't have to specify the template argument, so the function, they just get deduced from the function argument, and that is fantastic. Everybody loves it. You can develop a library that's fairly templated, and your end user doesn't need to actually specify
the angle brackets.
Yeah, that's what makes the STL, the standard template library, successful.
Okay.
Now, the problem is for class template, well, you're out of luck. You have to specify the end.
You always are required to do that.
And it can be very ugly. So the thing that happened was Max Perthes got the idea that, well, most of the time when you create a class template, they have certain structures and you have something in mind, and the constructors will tell you basically what you want to construct. Like if you take vector of int, most of the time it's either default constructed or you have values like 1, 2, 3 in embrace initializer, and say vector of int v, open curly, 1, 2, 3, 4, close curly, and there's some kind of redundancy there because you have
integers.
So now you can just say std vector v, open curly, the list of integers, close curly, it would just work.
Without explicitly saying what
That's right.
It's the ongoing autoization of the entire language.
That's absolutely right. Yeah, it's just very nice. Of course, it has some stuff you need to work through. I think the usual name is deduction guide, because things are so complicated that in the end, you need to write something to tell the compiler, hey, if you see these things, then just deduce that stuff.
So cleaner code for class templates, and your keyboard will live a little bit longer.
Yeah, and your eyes too.
Yeah, great. All right, okay, so that's it. So that was it. That was 17 minor changes in those two major areas.
That's right.
Both kind of library or using libraries.
Yeah, and the rest just resolving, fixing bugs.
Okay, so we'll put a closing curly brace or a semicolon at the end of C++ 17. Now we'll move on to futures.
Oh yeah, so you're going to do a cleanup. Sorry.
Yes. Yeah. All right. So let's start with I think Gore's absolute favorite change for C++ 20 or C++ next.
Yeah. So So the next major things that people need to know is that we have several TSs that came in, and one of them is
coroutines. Yes. Coroutines were voted for PDTS, and now I know what it means. PDTS stands for preliminary draft technical specification for coroutines.
You're good students.
Yes, and the vote and the vote was 41 for, 1 against, 9 abstain, and the guy who voted against ran very fast before I was able to catch him. but I guarantee you the next vote will be voting either for or neutral. So because then I will be able to talk to him. So we had a core review. And there were a few minor changes, mostly editorial. There was one, not a very substantial change. It doesn't change anything for the user, but we changed the way how we specify that certain optimizations are possible in the coroutine. So imagine you're calling a coroutine, and you pass a bunch of parameters. And some of those parameters, they live on the stack, like a structure. With some members, it lives on the stack of the caller.
As opposed to the heap?
As opposed to in the register.
As opposed to in a register, okay.
Then that coroutine gets suspended. That stack goes away. So we have to sometimes copy the parameters from where they are during the call to somewhere where they can be accessed after the coroutine is resumed.
Okay.
And we allow compilers to optimize that copy out. We would say, well, if compiler needs the copy, it is allowed to copy the parameter. And if it's not, it doesn't have to. And we harden it a little bit by saying that in the one section that compiler always copy, and then in the next section we said, but sometimes you can elide the copy, but otherwise it's always stayed the same. So.
So did you land on the more specific version of that?
Yes, so we went with saying that compiler always copy. What it means is that compiler will check whether copy is possible, whether copy constructor is accessible, or move constructor. So it did all of the checks. And then later, you can elide the copy if it is not needed.
Understood.
With the opposite way how it was before Kona, you could bypass essentially some checks. So it was considered more robust way of specifying that.
Great.
So now from the management, project management perspective, if you remember at the last meeting in Issaquah,
right,
we directed Herb, who is the convener, to create a new work item. And then we also wanted to...
The new work item for C++
new work item for a coroutine technical...
Oh, for coroutines,
coroutines, yes. It just ISO bureaucracy. And then we also have the ability to tell Herb, hey, we want you to create a new work item, take this fantastic wording and turn it into a BDTS. And at the time, some people, mostly from core, felt like when they were reviewing the wording, the core working group, when they were reviewing the wording, the document that Gore had, they didn't have in mind that it was for the BDTS. So in Kona,
I
think we spent, 5 minutes in there, or 20 minutes?
No, I think we spent about half an hour.
Half an hour to address those concerns.
And then it was ready.
And then in plenary on Friday or Saturday, we actually voted to move the...
Yes, 4119.
Do you want to show him the tattoo?
No. So in 3 months, he'll get busy because he'll get comments from the national bodies.
And I'm already getting comments.
And then you have to spend time, thinking about how to resolve it and so forth.
Yeah. Okay. So you want anything change in coroutines? Send the comments.
Goran.
Preferably who is already a PR for the world changes.
Should we leave your phone number?
No.
Day or night, call Gore Nishana. Okay, so next in our TS list of awesomeness is the networking TS.
Okay.
Yes, if you saw, those who saw the pre-Kona mailing, Ville, who is the chair of the evolution, established some guidelines of what has to go to C++ 20. And he put 4 things. Of course, he missed the 5th thing, which is coroutines,
it's clearly an oversight.
Right, so essentially what are suggested priorities for C++ 20 are modules, concepts, networking TS, and ranges. Mm-hmm. And of course coroutines, but they weren't mentioned, it was implied. And networking TS is also interesting by the fact it's a stealth way of getting some kind of thread pooling into the language. Because officially, there is a concurrency and parallelism subgroup which works on executors, which is this big, serious proposal how you can post work to some kind of execution agent.
Okay.
But if you look at thread pools, for example, on Windows or in Apple, posting individual chunk of works is a small aspect of what thread pool is doing. It is also a vehicle to push arbitrary asynchronous activity completions. Your socket is ready, the connection was closed, or some other operating system signal was signaled, and or timer fired. So all of those various flavors of events going into a thread pool, and thread pool creates enough threads to make sure that all of them are handled in a scalable manner. So executors at the moment only covering the take this lambda, essentially, and run it somewhere else. Whereas the networking TS actually covers timers, posting work, completion of sockets of various flavors. So essentially, there
in
was
order to implement the networking stack on top, foundational layer.
And in terms of the progress, networking TS is way forward, right? Mm-hmm. We have that.
Right.
It is high priority.
Which
for
means 20, closer to completion.
And it's already a technical specification. So
right.
We had a bunch of discussions in the smaller groups of, well, can we actually add some thread pooling support? And some people volunteered to have a paper for Toronto to explain how we can add thread pools for C++.
Yeah, thread pools have been suggested by BRN for a long time, since we had threads in C++ 11. We didn't have anybody to take mantle.
And this is sort of like a good domain where
layer. So you have a pool of thread instead of, just killing and asking, return the resource to the OS and then relaunch again. You just keep them the
same
and reuse them as
right.
Needed.
So networking TS is a sneaky way to get threat pools.
Yeah, and they're very effective, right? It's just like sometimes when you know, the equivalent for this would be memory management. Sometimes you don't need to return your memory to the system, just keep it on the side and recycle as mm-hmm. you go. The same goes for thread pool. It's very
effective. Great. All right, next up in your list of four, and yes, we are looking off the bar in our list of our line of things. Yeah. For people who are like, why are they always over there? ranges. Let's talk about ranges. So ranges is, editor is actually Casey, right?
Like yes.
We were with
Casey on right. previous.
Yes, for those of you who haven't caught up on all of the backlog.
Let me sell you ranges. Look, have you ever got tired of writing begin and end into every algorithm? Now you don't have to.
The passion of rangers.
So now, yeah, instead of paying a pair, you get better range. And please continue.
This is how we work here. You know, the passion we go, you know. And so
that's right.
He keeps you up, you know, morning very early. And yeah, we got technical specification for rangers. This is a milestone. You know, we're looking at C++. 20 now, you know, things we want to get there. And range, just, you know, like girls say, you don't have to say v.begin, v.end. You just hand over what you want, and, you know, things work very nicely. And this is a productivity boost, right? You know, also, in a sense, it allows you to reduce the opportunity for bugs, where, you know, you have two iterators. You don't actually know that
you can reach, validate one
yeah,
of them.
Or you don't know whether you can reach the end from the beginning, what you think to be the end, right?
Right.
Imagine you have two vectors, and you take the beginning of one, and forget and take the beginning of the other.
Cleaner code, safer code.
That's right. So now you have your range. You have less opportunity to get it wrong. So this is really, really good. And it is using concepts, which is the other topic.
Before we get off ranges, and that one is it the same as coroutines, or is PDTS, or is it like early? Like, help me understand where that one is relative to the others.
I think we wanted for PDTS, right?
So those two, it
moved to the next stage, you know.
But Gore hasn't memorized the final hotel.
I only remember coroutines.
Right, yes, all right. Only coroutines.
41.
All of his.
he malocked. Storage that contains only coroutines.
Got it. Nice. All right, on to concepts.
Yeah, so concept. Concept are an existing CS, and what you're looking at here is the feature 1000.
Are you tired of pages and pages of compilation errors?
Go on, say it's concept.
Now it's concept. It will be just a few lines.
Yeah.
Let's continue.
So. This is going.
Yeah, it's fine.
Sorry. Yeah. So, what are concepts? We have been talking about concept for over decades, two decades, or something like that. So this time around, we had a technical specification. It's people call it concept light. We no longer call it that way, but essentially, it's a way to specify the requirements that you have on the template argument for your algorithm. For example, sorts, you have to have a sortable container, and that kind of stuff. And we were talking about what have we learned from the TS, right? We have an implementation, existing implementation, a compiler, GCC, that has been shipping since version 6 something. And people have tried, and we learned from the implementation itself and usage itself. So there were several reports, and we look at what needs to be simplified and what was missing, and so forth. It was a lively discussion. I think it's probably a half a day going through. I'm very, you know, after that conversation we had, so it was a joint, you know, discussion with the core working group, who looks at how the language looks like in terms of specification, and evolution working group says, hey, this is what we want. At the end of the conversation, most of us were very, very positive about the prospect of having concepts in technical specification. And the news, I think, that people got was that, well, the Microsoft compilers started.
We just started very early work on implementing
concept, and which for the C++ community actually is the signal that the committee is really serious, because one of the questions we've had in the past was, can we trust the committee about these things, right? People, you know, have fear, uncertain doubts, and others, and we really, we mean business. So we expect to discuss again concept in the Toronto meeting in July.
So next up is Toronto.
Yeah,
okay,
that's right.
July. Got it.
In July. And we'll have, you know, it's becoming more and more real.
Okay.
Yeah, and then we talk about modules. That one was interesting. I'm the project editor of a module technical specification. I spent about 4 days with my dear friends in a co-working group. And they have pictures on the internet, but you know, with me being flustered. So anyway, we made a lot of progress. Going into the Kona meeting, there was a question about how you find certain names in certain conditions, well, fairly defined, you know, on Kona case. And we spent about 4 days working that out. And then we had a document that we moved to the plenary, thinking that it would pass because everybody signed off on it.
So CORE was happy, right?
Yeah, we had
voted for.
So the co-working group. The co-working group. Look at the wording. I, you know, interesting thing here I should say is I work with Richard Smith very, very closely. I want to thank him. You know, on Thursday we went and grabbed lunch and came back was writing the wording. And you know, I don't know whether I have to confess this, but actually give him my computer and say, just write it. Yeah, so, you know, he had to rewrite certain wording I had. He understood it and explained it to the CORE, and then, you know, CORE prefers certain formulation. So, we, you know, everybody signed off on modules, and I think the vote was 9-2 in CORE to move it, which usually that kind of stuff you get. So in plenary, got surprised. The motion didn't carry.
Got it.
To get a PDTS stage.
More work to do.
So more work to do, and we know exactly what we have to do. So there was a confused discussion, and then the next day, Saturday, we had another discussion with votes so that everybody is clear on what we need. So
what the issues were.
Yeah,
basically.
What the issues. So we have about three issues, you know, exactly three issues. So two were decided by Evolution Working Group. So those are the absolutely two things that need to happen before Toronto.
Give them names?
Yeah. So certain people would like to have a syntax, a notation for saying that a module interface is a module interface, right? So today, the way we have just say module, my module, module foo, and then given the context, you know, context being that you export from that file, it's a module interface. So you want to have notation. It can be annotation, or it could be a slightly different syntax. Mm-hmm. Jason Miri from GCC Red Hat has preference for exports module full. That's fine with me, and so that's a very local, small change. It is not a big.
So there's basically design. Understanding on all sides that there needs to be an annotation syntax
for saying this is.
But yeah. People need to before Toronto. Oh, people
before
need
Toronto.
To work out the annotation
preference.
Syntax.
Preference. It doesn't seem that it's needed, but people would prefer to have it.
Yeah, and okay. It doesn't change the semantics of modules in any way. It is, you know, like you prefer purple to red.
That's, okay. All right. Cool.
That's the way it is. And the other one is so as we've been deploying modules for production use, and other people are still thinking about design. Developers, programmers have been saying, "Oh, it would be nice today." We have a requirement that a module interface has to appear in a single file. So people say, oh, I don't really want to put all my exports in one single file. I love spreading them over several files, and I want to have a mechanism just to say, to tell the compiler, oh, all these things make up the module interface file. Again, that is not a...
So this is partitioning.
Yeah, so we call this module interface partition. It's like, you know, we have small... these things and put them together. So again, it is not a major redesign in any way, just
but people wanted
syntax.
To see this
that's
before
right.
we sort of locked
yeah.
it down.
So yeah, people want to see this before we go to the module PDTS. And then there was some other, the third point is the discussion people want to have module declaration. So today when you file, say, oh, from now on, every declaration that appears till the end of the file belongs to this module.
Okay.
The module, and we have module declaration. And certain people would like to see that module declaration at the very top to the file, and then you have to define what type of the file is, right? Is it before comment or after comment, you know?
Sure, sure.
Yeah, and you know, the reason I mention it is people say, oh, I want to see the first declaration so that I know I'm in a module file. But if you have comment, you know, you have to go to page 25 before, you know. Anyway, so there was discussions about that, and Evolution took a poll, a straw poll, as we do, and there was no consensus to change that. So it is not a required item in any way to
but move it's still forward. An area that people are interested.
Yeah, it is still an area people are still thinking about, and we'll most likely talk about it again.
Great. Okay, so we got to probably wrap this up pretty quickly, but let's talk at least a little bit about things beyond there, right? So there were some topics for possible future TSs, right? So let's... or I don't. You tell me the right words for it, but like contracts and...
So we didn't actually talk about future TSs except, some...
potential areas of investment,
but
what
should
I say?
Yeah. Functionalities, programming language functionalities. Sure. And I think people have enough of TSS for now.
So,
So one major topic that we have been talking about for a while now is contract. So what is contract? The idea is you express in code, just like you have concept. Now, concept for compile time enforcement of requirement, you also want to have a runtime checking of requirement.
So this would be like preconditions and postconditions. Yeah,
that's right. Preconditions, postconditions. Today, the library, standard library, or ordinary code, you state in comment, oh, to call this function foo, you need to have these all these conditions, and if you don't, then you're on your own, meaning undefined behavior. And the compiler will just say, oh, you violate that thing, I'm just going to delete that section of code, and sometimes it's great, but most of the time, it just gives chaos, right? So what we want ability to contain unbounded undefined behavior is unbounded behavior, right? Anything can happen. We really want to contain that. We want to constrain. Okay. In these cases, if the programmer, whatever it happened, the data, the argument, failed to satisfy these conditions, please just stop the program. Don't let it go for or throw an exception. But
kill it out loud. Yeah, no exceptions.
A runtime is just one aspect, right? It's just the ability to express certain constraints on the execution of the program, which can be interpreted by the static analysis tools, can be used by optimizer, and also, if desired, can be used to add runtime checks. So it covers all three.
Well, but the I think you have the all three aspects. The most fundamental one is really contained runtime behavior. That's fundamental. That's the I would say the primary motivation, right? You want to contain, if you use the static analysis tools, it will tell you in advance that something is wrong. So you got, but if you don't have the second, or if you don't use the static analysis tool, you really, really want to, that's the primary motivation. The static analysis aspects and the runtime, they're very complementary, right? We have a very strong tradition here.
Thank you. There's no wording for this one yet. It's like still.
Oh, we actually made huge progress. We have wording.
I see.
It was presented by Jose Daniel Garcia, the head of the Spanish delegation.
Oh, okay.
So now this is a collaborative work with folks at Bloomberg. Bloomberg has experience with. Right, runtime checking in some form.
Cool.
As do almost every big shop, right? Microsoft has the same thing. And Microsoft has a good technology understanding of tradition of static analysis tools, weeding out bugs before you actually compile them or ship them. Right? Mm-hmm. So this is a place where you have very nice collaboration, make C++ a much better program and your programming language, right? For safety and productivity.
And reflection was the last thing.
Reflection. So now there have been a lot of papers on reflections.
Definitely seems to come up a lot in discussions on Reddit.
Yes. A lot of people looking for facilities to reflect, to decompose classes, functions, data, the variable declarations, but. So there is one big proposal that's leaning so far by Axel Neumann and his friends, and that is progressing very well. And we talk a lot about other proposals in EWG. They tend to be specialized, right?
Okay.
And go in the weed. And Herb came to realization that we could handle those special cases by actually providing a general programming facility. So now in the paper, working with at Kona, working with Andrew Sutton, he came with
the concepts guy.
Andrew Sutton, yeah, the GCC concept guy, yes,
yeah.
And the concept guy, yeah. They have a very nice programming language support for, you know, expressing these ideas more generally, and as a result of that, the reflection study group got renamed Reflection and Metaprogramming.
Okay, good. Change the name if nothing else.
Yeah, yes. Because you know, just the realization that if you want to scale, you want to make it's very ready. You need to provide structure, and so that's actually big news. And
okay. From and the, over the next sets of meetings, we'll expect to see
yeah, we expect that. And which, if all of these work out well, C++ 2020 is going to be a fantastic programming language. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happens after that. But
after that, it all goes straight in the garbage. But, you know, like 2020 will be good.
And the thing to add to the reflection is that for several years, reflection subgroup was looking at the proposals. And now they got to the stage where they were ready to bring a proposal mm-hmm. to evolution mm-hmm. Group.
And okay. the leading proposal is also using concepts. So this is things are just moving.
And it is Axel, you know, one of the drivers, yes. And Axel of Variant.
Yeah.
And also Kling.
Axel Newman.
Kling is an interpreter of C++ using client.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Axel has a very strong record of, you know, track record of doing these things properly.
All right, so let's talk about call to action really quick. So obviously, I think we want people to actually go out and try all these new features, especially the 17 ones, because that's probably too late.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But we're starting to see a lot of the different vendors to ship the C++ 17 features.
So most major vendors are now, you know, practically closed. GCC, Clang, you're already complete. Mm-hmm. Visual C++.
I'm watching check-ins go by with these features coming through our pipeline. Yeah.
Yes, Visual C++ is racing. I think by the time we have the ISO found the right stamp.
Right. Once the
all the compilers,
slow boat arrives.
All the compilers will have these features, and you know, you don't have to wait for years before you can use them.
Great. Okay. And try out the TSs, I think.
Yeah, the TSs. Yes. So coroutines.
Please.
Visual Studio 2017.
Yes. So modules.
If you don't like something, there is still time to tweak.
So modules, of course, can try the Microsoft implementation. I hear that GCC started implementing modules. This is really fantastic news for the community.
Great.
Now you can write cross-platform code.
And I think even if you're not on Microsoft, Gore has an implementation available of
in Clang
of coroutines.
That's right.
It's a private fork. Just talk to me. I'll
ranges can be gotten for both Arc. We have a special branch that has some workarounds because we're still working on two-phase lookup. that will allow you to use ranges with our compiler. But of course, you can also use the main one with, ranges v3 with Clang and GCC.
That's right.
What else?
So the network. Do you know where you find network? I forgot.
Yeah, networking TS, there is an implementation on the GitHub. You need to search for Chris Kochloff, which is the author, and there will be a networking TS implementation.
Okay. As long as you edit it in Visual Studio, I'm happy.
And it works for Visual Studio, so.
So that's work for a girl, right?
And try modules.
Right, modules, of course, we have a very advanced
implementation
inside of
ours. The Microsoft implementation is very close to the specification. Of course, modules.
Are you tired of slow compilation times? Are you tired of fragile way of composing your program from good files?
Modules.
What did you get him for lunch?
I don't know. We'll check with the facilities people on the lunch. Great. Okay.
Okay.
So that's plenty. That's enough for them to go off.
We'll see you in the summer.
And then they can wait idly, waiting with, you know, tension, trying to see what will happen in Toronto.
Yeah.
Build that suspense up. All right.
Yep. No, okay.
Thank you.
See you in the summer.
See you.